Okay, hey, it's John Cahill again with Tent Makers Podcast. I'm here with my really good friend, Adrian Bill. Adrian is just so many hats all in one. Pastor, evangelist, preacher, teacher, business owner, business revivalist, kind of like a renaissance man. And I'm so excited that you're taking time to talk to us today. But if you just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of everything you're into the best you can, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So my wife, Kayla, and I lead a missions base in El Paso and Juarez.
Yeah.
It's under the umbrella of Kaleo International.
Yes.
It's called Kaleo EPJ. And we also, under that base, we help lead a church in Juarez called River Church, and also a church in El Paso called Antioch Revival Center. Mm. And we've been at it for about 5 years here in the area. My wife and I have a small business in El Paso that we run as well. And yeah, just doing everything. So it's exciting. It's a fun time to be alive. It's a good time to be a part of the harvest. The Lord's doing a lot of great things in every realm, it seems like.
Yeah, amen. So it's probably safe to say you guys stay pretty busy.
Yeah.
So how do you find balance? Hello? Uh-oh. That's awesome. Okay, so sorry for technical difficulties. We're back here. So Adrian, you got a lot going on. You're making ripples in every direction. How do you find the balance between ministry, work, and family?
Well, I think what I found that really keeps me stable and really helps me accomplish everything that we do is just having, taking care of my prayer life with God.
Yeah.
Making that the priority of every day is really my goal. Where I just take a certain amount of time in the morning and just pray, just spend time with the Lord. And, you know, I journal, I get all my thoughts down and just interact with God in the mornings. And that's the life of everything that we do, from doing family, doing ministry, doing work. Everything flows out of that place.
Yeah.
And just really staying aligned well by not getting, too top heavy with everything that we're doing. That that keeps me grounded and gives me a good foundation to do life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And really, I know that's true because I've been on a few mission things with you, and you really are a presence-based individual. And it's kind of fun to watch. Thank you, for just being you. But, do you find... So everything flows out from that place of intimacy, right? You're always grounding yourself in the presence of God. Do you ever...
Absolutely.
Do you ever find yourself feeling like you're getting pulled too far in one direction by something? Like, you've got a full-time base you're running, a full-time business. Does it ever feel like things are pulling you too thin, or how do you kind of combat that being overstressed?
Yes, and usually that's if I'm not getting that prayer time in the morning.
Yeah, gotcha.
If I try to do what I'm doing on my own strength and my own perspective, I do get to where I'm, chasing off on a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
And I can lose focus. Mm-hmm. And so just giving time in prayer, I'm telling you, it's the life source. You know, one of the things Heidi taught us at Harvest School was that all fruitfulness flows from intimacy.
Amen.
And so, and just living off that core value. Yeah. That if I'm going to be fruitful in life, either with my family, in ministry, or in work, in the marketplace,
yeah,
that I've got to have this place with God, like, locked up. Like, this has got to be guarded and protected and has to be something that I fight for.
Yeah.
And that's how I combat the busyness, is with stillness, believe it or not.
Come on. Oh, so good. Yeah, amen. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are in medical device sales, correct?
Yeah, I do orthopedic implants.
Yeah.
And orthopedic rehabilitative devices.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty cool. And I remember talking to you once about that, and you really were blowing my mind with sort of how you've integrated ministry and the workplace together, and you don't really have like kind of like a ministry church box and then a, you know, workplace box. You've kind of, you know, from that place of intimacy, you've found a way to make it really flow holistically and well. And I was wondering if you could just kind of touch on that for a minute.
Yeah. Well, when I first got into the medical device sales arena, a lot of it had to do with durable medical equipment, and which involved me interacting with a lot of patients in their homes.
Yeah.
And so when I first started interacting with patients like that, I just was doing my job. But the more and more I stepped into healing and seeing God move in that way, the more I realized, wow, I'm positioned so well to minister healing to
Amen.
To people in pain, people who are in very difficult circumstances. And as a healthcare provider, you know, when I'm there, you know, people's attention and heart position towards you is positioned differently than the average person that would walk up to them
sure.
in the store.
Yeah.
And so they're looking to you
there.
To provide care.
Yeah.
And so when you go beyond what is the natural solutions and the physical solutions that we have,
yeah.
and you offer spiritual solutions and emotional solutions, it one, it really makes happy customers, which goes back to the referral source and really drives business well.
Yeah.
Two, it leads to a lot of people getting healed in their bodies.
Come on.
And so that's exciting. As I got started getting into the OR and working in OR devices, you know, I thought, man, I can't think of a better place to have an intercessor praying.
Come on.
You know, when someone's body's on the table being worked on,
yeah.
and there's a doctor there, you know, like if I was the person on the table, I would like, you know, a praying believer
yeah.
in the room.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And so that is one way that, you know, I desire to go in and have the value system that says I'm a thermostat, not a thermometer. You know, I don't come into to check the temperature here, but I come in to set the temperature and change the climate. And we see that. It's very cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Man, so simple, but so profound. It's,
very much so.
I mean, even if you weren't doing like the base and pastoring and evangelism, if you really boiled it down, you could say, if you wanted to, when you're selling medical devices, you're getting paid to do ministry.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're there, when I'm there, it's full-time ministry, you know, you interact with people and you build relationships with anyone.
Yeah.
I would just say it's just being a good Christian, you know, whether you want to take a title of minister or not, you know, I'm sure it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But I think it's just being a Christian in the environment that I'm working in the marketplace.
Yeah, come on. This is a silly question, but I just want to ask it. Have you ever been in a situation where you're selling a medical device and then somebody gets healed and they no longer need to buy the medical device anymore? What does that look like?
You know, I had one kind of close to that. I was working in Central Texas.
Yeah.
And while I was there, I may have already told you the story. I don't remember if I have.
I don't know.
But I was with a patient, and to make a long story short, I'd gotten a word of knowledge about the patient that needed healing in their body.
Yeah.
And I was there. My job was to come in and provide them a back support for them. And so I was filling the doctor's prescription, and I showed up, provided the back support for the patient, and I began to inquire what was going on in their body. And it turned out they had like a very limited range of motion in their shoulder. They had pain in their gums, and for some reason, whatever was going on in their body, they didn't produce saliva, and they had to take a special medication that they kind of like gargled, and it helped them, not have like a dry tongue. I mean, it's very, very odd type of thing. Well, so I was with them, and I did the service that I was sent there to do, and under the doctor's order. But while I was there, I offered to pray for them, and in praying for this sweet old lady, her range of motion came back into her shoulder,
Come on.
where she could fully it fully came back, where she could move it all the way up and all the way down. The pain left her gums and her mouth. She had horrible pain in her mouth. The pain left the gums, and then get this, saliva came back into her mouth, and she could feel it, and her mouth was back.
She could
And
spit again.
so, yeah, she could feel that saliva was back. And oddly enough, she kept the back brace, and I went home.
Only Jesus. Only
Yeah, I
Jesus.
mean, I don't understand all that, but praise God.
So, okay, when you say you felt you had a word, I understand what you're meaning, but for people who maybe are new to evangelism led by the Holy Spirit, what was that like? You just were like, okay, here's the order, I'm gonna fill it, and then you just got hit by the Holy Spirit in your conscience, or like you heard from the Lord, or what did that look like?
No, the front end of the story that I chopped off was I was with the patient, and I felt in my spirit that there was something going on, and I asked her if something was going on, and she said yes. And actually, I finished doing the back brace that time, and I got in my car and I left. I didn't pray for her yet. I called Kayla to tell her because I was excited because I got the word of knowledge right, but I didn't pray for her at all. I just like got excited and left without praying for her, and so this is me making the story shorter. But I thought, oh yikes, I should go back and pray for that. And so I drove back to her house and said, hey, this is what I got. Can I pray for you? And that's when she experienced the healing in her body. And so that was one of the early days of me just hearing the Lord, and it wasn't really a this dramatic encounter that happened. It was just a still small voice, really. Just I would say an impression of something in their body.
That's pretty cool. Man, okay, so then on the other side of that, what I've heard a lot of like folks with their own businesses mostly will say is they just have like this fear that if they get that charismatic in their business place, that they're going to drive away business. And I kind of understand that that's it's it can be hard at first. And even hard later on, I don't know if it ever gets easy. I still get really nervous sometimes evangelizing. But what have you like? How have you gotten over that? That fear of just being your business being totally immersed in the presence, whether you're with customers or you're not with customers, or how do you get over that fear of man thing?
Well, what repulses people is not the presence, and it's not the life of Jesus. That's not repulsive to people. Yet one of the names of Jesus is the desire of the nations. So whether they know it or not, they actually have an innate God-built shaped void that is attracted to the presence of God. So the presence doesn't drive people away. What does drive people away is religion. And
Good.
if we are religious in our demonstration of experiencing the presence, and even in a charismatic circle, we can become very religious about those kind of things, and it be a way, and the world has no way to relate to it at all, and they don't know how to deal with it. And I mean, and so if we can stay connected to the life source of Jesus and just be non-religious, just be very simple and, hey, this is God and I'd like to share it with you.
Yeah.
You know, when you're genuine and it's really the Lord, people are so attracted to it. They're not turned off. They're just turned off by religion.
Right. Yeah. And religion oftentimes has more of a pressure built around it you to look good, for them to receive. And it's really simple to say, but it's more like just introducing a very close friend, and sort of the pressure is alleviated from that place. That's really good. So have you always, like, when you got into medical sales, were you just like, this is it, I'm just gonna be all out for Jesus, doing my thing? Or was there like a light switch moment, or how did this become what it is?
Well, I mean, I remember, you know, before I moved to our mission field in El Paso and Juarez, just being consumed by God, like just going after Him privately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and a friend of mine, we would wake up at crazy hours in the morning, and we would meet at a coffee shop to pray. We pray at 4:30.
Wow.
Most nights of the week. Mm-hmm. And so we were just getting consumed mm-hmm. with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it hit a point where I was no longer, you know, living in the world and had kind of this Jesus on the side, but it was consuming my thoughts. It was consuming my life. It was consuming everything, really.
Yeah.
And the more and more it got that way, the more I would, you know, I'm just listening to worship as I'm driving to a patient's house, or listening to a message as I'm driving to someone's house,
sure.
Running errands for work. And I'm filling up so much. And I remember driving way out in the country and I was listening to a Circuit Riders CD.
Yeah.
And, I was, you know, they're singing like, "Oh God, here am I, send me." And, I remember just crying out to the Lord, going down the road, "Lord, send me, send me, send me."
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lord did. You know, you pray that long enough, He just says, "Okay, sure, why not?" You know? And, like, out you go.
Yeah.
And I would just honestly would just love for Jesus, love for His presence.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be in the medical arena. You know, if I was in some other field, I'm sure that it would be bleeding over that way as well.
Yeah.
I just happened to be the tools that God had given me.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No matter where you are, really God gripped you. And when He gripped you, you were willing to relent whatever it took in your life for Him to be King. And that's kind of beautiful. That's really neat. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so full-time running a business. I mean, running a business is not like a full-time thing. It's like two full-time things. So, you know, that plus running the mission base and pastoring. And it's really kind of all hands on deck sort of thing for you. So I know you've got a bunch of kids. So in order to sort of maintain healthy work, ministry, business balance, do you find yourself just incorporating all the elements together? Like, do your kids come with you to work at all, or do they come with you to evangelize at the base, or what does that look like?
Oh yeah, I mean, the our kids are very involved in everything we do, both in the workplace. They're often, you know, I've got Jonathan's 14 now, so he's got little odd jobs that he does at work.
Sure.
At our office.
Yeah.
And you know, Jimmy's definitely around. Audrey's around, and so they're definitely with us all the time. So we get lots of time together.
Yeah.
In evangelism, our kids are leaders at this stuff. I mean, they get unbelievable words of knowledge going out and praying for words of knowledge in the public.
Yeah.
When we have teams come, they're wonderful examples and wonderful leaders. Jimmy, as of late, he's been getting people's tattoos. You know, when we pray for words of knowledge, he'll draw their tattoo ahead of time. Then we'll go to Walmart and go find the person,
wow.
have them lift up their sleeve, and it'll be the tattoo that
what?
He drew.
That's so
And so,
cool. So he
so we,
sketches out the tattoo from the Holy Spirit, and then you
yep.
guys go and find somebody, and he's like, "Yeah, that's someone with the tattoo." And then they match up. Wow. That's incredible.
So, I mean, what we've tried to do is incorporate them as like, hey, this is not some churchy thing that mom and dad do, but hey, look, check this out. This is kind of cool. I mean, every kid wants to be a superhero, you know? And so when you show them that, hey, God has superpowers for you and that you can use them and you can set people free. And they're like, oh, wow, this is pretty neat. And so, you know, Jimmy, it was hilarious. We were had a revival meeting in Mexico the other day, and God's breaking out and touching people. And Jimmy comes up to me after the service, and he says, "Hey, Dad, I got 20." Like, you got 20? What are you talking about? Like, he was laying hands on people, and they were falling out in the spirit. So he came up to me, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, I got 20 today."
Wow.
And I said,
That's
"Oh, wow,
so
that's
cool.
awesome, James. That's cool." And I said, "How did you?" He said, "No, he's telling me, and I figured it out." I thought you. I said, "You figured it out," and he says, "Yeah." He said, "If I believe that God's going to touch them whenever I pray, I just go behind them and I move the chair out of the way before I pray
Oof.
on the front end, and then
Come
I
on.
move it everything out of the way, and then I pray for God to touch them, and then He touches them." And I thought, you know, if adults could figure that out, you know, that if, you know, he was operating in faith. And he understood it very well, better than most grown-ups do, honestly. And he was figuring out the way it worked, not to have a formula of move the chair, but to have an expectancy for God to show up whenever he prayed. And so Jonathan just had a wonderful treasure hunt here recently as well, just called out everything about the person and then went and found them. And he was with a visiting team, you know, and just it's amazing how God's working with kids. If we'll just kind of take the, you know, get out of the box a little bit, we'll see God do some unique stuff with our family.
Yeah, that's so cool. Or not try to separate them from what we're doing, and make what we're doing like a job, so to speak, where we need to be at work when we're at work, and with our family when we're at family, and really just kind of inviting them into the adventure with us
So
is
true.
what I think I'm hearing. That's amazing. Wow, so good.
So true.
What's going on for you guys next? What do you got going on in the future with all that?
So our business has been growing, and so it was just me working. Now, Kayla has really joined in on a different level, of really requiring a lot of her work time, which she also homeschools our kids. So she's got a double, and she does the ministry with us, with me as well. So we're both kind of fully loaded, as far as on what we do. And but we've been growing. So we just recently got into a new building for our business,
Oh, cool.
and we had an extra room there. And so we've been seeing so many healings lately. We thought, man, this is what God's doing. Let's organize so that it'll increase, you know. Let's figure out how we can support what God's doing. You know, so often we build a structure and ask God to fill it, but if we'll look for what God's doing and then build a structure around it so that it increases,
Amen. Come
it
on.
goes a lot better that way.
Yes, it does.
Well, so we thought, let's take this extra room and let's start a healing rooms ministry. And
In
so
your
we got this
business.
extra room at the office.
Let
Yeah,
me
at the
just
office.
clarify that. At your place of business, you guys established a healing room.
We're establishing a healing room.
Okay, gotcha.
We've already got the place, and one of our church members she's really into like interior design, so she's designing the room for us now. And we're supposed to have the design by Friday. Then we're gonna go, you know, we're gonna go fill it out with all the stuff that, you know, she put down. But our plan is to have it up and running by the end of the summer. But we've got so many relationships with physicians and clinicians here in town that through work that we can easily say, hey, you know, I'm already being referred people And so just to be able to hand them a brochure and say, hey, next door there's a healing room, you know, there's
wow.
people there that are ready to pray for you if you need anything.
So
and just don't over spiritualize it.
Yeah, so you're going to incorporate your work relationships and like sort of the network that you have just from selling medical devices to help facilitate people into the kingdom.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so what we're thinking is this will really be an on-ramp for church growth as well. You know, as people come in and they receive healing and deliverance,
I mean,
if that doesn't cause church growth, I'm not sure what does. you know, just to invite people in, because we see a good couple hundred patients a month.
Yeah.
That get stuff from us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we can facilitate around that and pick off here and there as Lord gives them to us, people that need healing in their body, that are open to it, you know, it's not forced upon them or manipulated in any way, but just available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's definitely one on ramp into the healing rooms that sells. And then we're going to do some like Facebook ads and Google ads and
wow.
just the city stuff that you do.
Yeah.
But we should have an initial stream. Right now we're developing the infrastructure of, you know, how are we going to handle inquiries? How are we going to field follow-ups? And the whole administrative side to it.
Yeah. Okay. There's so much in what you just said. You've really, like, flipped upside down how people view being born again and running a business. Okay, so here your business is growing despite you being quote-unquote weird for the Holy Spirit, right? I receive what you're saying. I totally get it. I'm in it. I'm just speaking from maybe like an outsider sort of view. So the result of that is you've decided let's double down on what God is doing through this, and let's build a healing room inside of our business. Not only that, we're going to take all of our business relationships and networks that we've worked years to build, and we're going to incorporate them as well. So not only will the people being healed encounter Jesus, but our business associates will encounter Jesus too, and actually be tools to resource people into the kingdom. Man, that is incredible.
Yeah.
You just said, yeah.
You said it more eloquently than I did. I think you did a good job. Good job, John.
Thank you. It just is really cool. Like, I don't know what to say. That's just amazing. It really is.
Well, I've tried more and more to, you know, not to hide. You know, I talk, when you work with doctors, we
come on.
You know, they ask you where are you from? What brought you to El Paso? What are you doing? Why are you here? You know, they can hear a little bit of Texas twang, so they're like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And so they ask you, and so you just tell them, oh, you know, you can kind of, you know, stay on the outskirts for a little while and say, oh yeah, it's a good place to work and blah blah blah, but ultimately you have to eventually say it. We came here to do mission work, you know.
Yeah.
We wanted to work in Mexico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of the doctors that I've worked with for longer, they know that.
Yeah.
And they know that we're here and we do mission work, and
yeah,
you know, we have people that, you know, the you know, if we needed to request, you know, a donation for, you know, some type of medical treatment, I would say we have the network of people,
yeah,
to request things from people who have things.
Yeah, that's a good, that's,
you know,
a good,
that's,
connection,
that's,
to
it's,
have.
It's better to say that, you know, a lot of people, you can request things, but they don't have things to give you. But when you request things from people who have things, you know,
it works a little better.
it works out well. So I hope that makes sense.
Yes,
but,
it does.
You know, one something I sent out recently, I was at my business.
Mm-hmm.
And in our little warehouse.
Yep.
And I had a neighbor next to mine. He had his, and he saw I had walkers in my building.
Yeah.
Well, he saw that and he came over to me and he said, hey, can I buy one of those? And I said, hey man, you know, these are a little more expensive. you know, a lot of people use these with a prescription. These are a little more expensive. You can go to this other place and you can get them a little cheaper over here. So I was just giving him some friendly advice to save him some money.
Sure.
It was my neighbor.
Yep.
And, anyway, he really appreciated that, you know, that I didn't try to capitalize on it. I gave him good advice.
Yeah.
And, I got to know him a little bit, and, I had previously seen him there before, and he was very upset, throwing his stuff around. And, you know, so this time when we started having conversation, it was really interesting. He told me he was having surgery.
Yeah.
Like that week. And so I said, but here's my card. You know, if you need something else, you know, give me a shout. And he says, you know, what I could really use, more than stuff is I don't have anyone in town to get me to the hospital. And I've been really concerned on how I'm going to get home.
Wow.
He didn't know he would get home. He said, I'd be happy to pay you to bring me home.
Yeah.
And I said, oh man, don't worry about it. We'll you got it, man. We'll take care of you. He was a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was actually traveling, during his surgery. So I reached out to someone in our church. I said, hey, can you pick up this friend of mine? He really needs someone to take him home from the hospital after his procedure. He doesn't have any family here. He doesn't have any friends. And so I said, it's done. You can have it. And he tells me that he was just on the phone that day, very concerned over the situation, praying with someone, and they just were praying together. And they say, man, God's going to work this out. God's going to work this out.
Yeah.
And right when we met, I mean, God answered his prayer. He was able to get home. We sent somebody, took him home, stayed following up with them.
Wow.
He literally had been alone in the city, no friends, no family here.
Wow.
And we just got to bless him and just telling him, you know, his name was John.
Yeah.
And it was like, John, we just want you to know, man, you're not alone in this city.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell you what, it pricked the heart of him, you know, it really touched him.
Yeah.
That someone cared to go get him.
Yeah.
He ended up coming to church, and has been back, you know, in contact with us.
Yeah.
And so I thought, man, that's so cool how our church rallied together to take care of this man. And we took him meals and we didn't know who he was. We took him meals and took care of him. So I sent out a message to some of the other, medical offices here in the city. You know, I have everyone's cell phone number. So I started texting them saying that, if you have any patients who are going off to receive surgery and don't have transportation, we have volunteers from our church who are willing to take them and pick them up from the facility.
Man.
And, so the contacts, you know, office managers and medical, you know, nurse practitioners and stuff like that. Like they're very like, oh wow, that's huge. Like it's a huge need. Like it's a real deal.
Yeah.
And so we just sent that out here recently. So we're hoping to get some traffic from that, but it is salty, you know, it is salty and it's light in the world. There are plenty of businesses that make money off transportation services.
Yeah.
And, we're just saying we want to love our city. We want to show love to our elders and, you know, cause right now it's so difficult with a lot of the, CDC restrictions to come in contact with all the elderly. So we kind of got to get out of the box. How can we connect with the elderly?
Yeah.
Well, we can drive them to the center and we can pick them up afterwards.
So good. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And how do we connect with our veterans? Well, we can take our veterans to their visit, you know?
Yeah.
And so these are just ways that the relationships that are come from the marketplace are really allow us to minister on a much higher level.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say a higher level, a different demographic than we would normally do with just the church.
Correct. Yeah. That's so good. Wow. I'm going to have to chew on that. There's a lot there that needs to be unpacked. But that is so good. Adrian, thank you so much for your time today. Have really opened a lot there with some of the things you said. So I think people are really going to appreciate this. Before you go, if you don't mind, would you just kind of tell us how people can get in contact with your ministry if they'd like to, and then pray over us. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. So the hub, Kaleo International, can be reached at kaleointernational.org,
Right.
and the church plant, Antioch Revival Center, can that's where you'll find more out about me and Kayla specifically. Is antiochrevivalcenter.org. You could also look at our Facebook page, Antioch Revival Center, or Kaleo EPJ, which is the missions base. And so there's really, you'll get an idea that, we're really working in a region. It's a regional work more than it is a local work. And you kind of see what's happening in El Paso and in Juarez and some of the stuff that we've done over there. So we'd love any inquiries, anyone that wants to visit, do a short-term mission trip, someone that wants to be activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We had a 2-week mission team here just recently. We had over 100 healings in less than 2 weeks. If anyone wants to come and get activated, and by using the gifts of the Spirit, we'd love to be a part of your journey.
Come on.
So yeah, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you thanks for Pastor John and Cynthia and the team in Tennessee. Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, just to continue to open the box of how we can have a greater reach, as that's our vision and that's our heart, is to reach new people, disciple new people, plant new works, and send out laborers into the harvest. Father God, I pray that you would use them, that you would cause acceleration to come on their ministry. God, I ask you for acceleration to come on John and Cynthia as they come out of the box, that we would just go to new level, God. That the time is short, the hour is short,
Yes,
and
God.
people must be reached, and there must be a sense of urgency.
Yes,
God, I
Jesus.
pray that there would be an urgency quicken inside of John and inside
Yes,
of the
God.
team and all the listeners, God, that we would be mobilized for the harvest in this time. In
Amen.
Jesus' name,
Amen.
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. I love you and appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Awesome.